doing the same for Jersey City Heights without leaving my other responsibilities in the conference. We will put one part on the front burner, and we will kind of put another part on this back burner. The president and I have already concluded that you will be on the front burner. Okay? As you know, your pastor had three churches. Pastor Thorpe, who is the administrative secretary of the New Jersey Conference, will be doing the same for the Hackensack Church. I explained to the president that throughout my ministry, I have never gone back where I have been before. I don't burn the bridges behind me, but I don't want to go back. I think we should be moving forward. I want to thank God because I believe we are blessed in New Jersey Conference to have a church like the Wayne Church. I deeply enjoy worshiping with you. You have a great worship team. And I think we can all join them together and say, let us worship, let us praise, let us glorify our God. Amen? God is good. The last time I was here, my brother Witkowski told me I could not come back without my wife. I tried to explain to him that my wife is the boss. She decides when she goes and not. But today she decided to be with us. Amen. And for those of you that do not know her, I want to ask her please to stand. I usually don't do that. I usually say, just look around, and the most beautiful lady in the congregation, that's my wife. To come a little closer, we have two children, and they say this is grandparent time. We also have two grandchildren. Our daughter is married, lives in California, has two children. Her husband is also a pastor, and my son is still at home with us. We have been and we have ceased to be, and we will be again someday. You know, it is not, let me share this with you. The first time we were going to be in your situation was when my son was going to go to Southern. One of my sisters live in Nashville. He was supposed to be there Sunday morning, so we went and we got there. I don't remember if it was Thursday or Friday during the day. My son and my wife are especially close, and he would be teasing her to make sure that she don't cry for him. That Friday evening, my sister was living in a two-story building, and so he was upstairs. We were downstairs for worship. My wife came down, and I asked her, where is Leo? He's upstairs. He was the one that was crying. But that following Friday, my wife and I began to sing for worship, and we couldn't make it through one song. So we know what you're going through. That will also pass. In this world, everything is just for a time. And let's enjoy whatever God throws in our plate. Amen? Amen. I want to emphasize that during the time we are together, we want to put first things first. Why is this church here in Wayne? What impact have you made in this community over the years? Are we satisfied with what we have done? Are we assured that we have been doing exactly what God wants us to do? Is there anything more we can do? And I don't want to forget this, because when I came in this morning in the early service that we had, I recognized that we had some visitors with us, some from near and some from far. All right? I want you to know that this church is always here for you. Amen. And if you want to be with us, we more so want you to be with us. Just see our church clerk or see one of our leaders, and we will make it happen. Amen? Amen. Today, I want to talk to you in that same light. Why are we here? The message is entitled, "You Are a Special Somebody." Regardless of the circumstances around you, never forget that you are what? A special somebody. And you are not a special somebody because I said so. It's because God said so. I have no ability to change who you are, but God does. And as we go to the Bible, we will see why we are special and what is our business as a special people. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Our God, we are about to open your word. Please send your Holy Spirit to impact our hearts with the power of your word that spoke creation into existence. Please create in us a new heart and put your spirit within us that we may be an extension of your love, your grace, and your salvation, wherever we may be. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a what? I'm reading the King James Version. But you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye may show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Let's analyze these verses. You are what? Right in order. You are a what? Chosen generation. I usually tell people when I go to the market, my wife goes to the supermarket, I go to the market. When I go to the market, I choose what I want to buy. People are always ready to sell you what they want to sell you. But when you go, you choose what you want. If you are buying tomatoes, depending on what you want the tomatoes for, then you're going to choose tomatoes that are firm, or you're going to choose tomatoes that are well ripe and soft. You choose what you want. You buy what you want. Amen? So, why did God choose you and I? Was it because we had the qualifications and the characteristics that were ideal to God? God chose you and I because are not because of who we are, but because of who we could be in Him. God does not see you and I how we are, but who we can become. You are a chosen generation. You know, when we are special, we like to know that we are special. But sometimes we abuse being special. We believe as Seventh-day Adventists that there is nobody like us. Forgive me those of you who are not. But we tend to even talk bad about other Christians, call them names. We haven't learned from biblical history. You know, I was listening to this story this lately. I wasn't reading it, I was just listening to the story. When Jethro told Moses, "What you're doing is not good. You need to do so, 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 so. This is what God wants you to do." Who was Jethro? Who was Jethro? His father-in-law. Was he a Jew? Was he of the chosen generation? No. Who dare you to tell me what God wants me to do? Have you ever spoken with God like I have? We have been face to face. God have told me not only what I'm supposed to do, but what His people is supposed to do. Where did you get the idea that God is sending you to tell me what He wants me to do? But Moses didn't do that. Some of us as Adventists don't want to hear nothing from nobody else because we think we have the monopoly on God. And God has to use us. No, He doesn't. Remember, other sheep I have who are not of this fold, them also must I bring. Yes, one day we're going to be one fold and one shepherd, but if we don't learn to be humble like Moses, we probably will never get there. You are chosen. You are special to God, not because of who you are, but because of who God is making you to be. We are saints, and we are becoming saints at the same time. We are saved, but we're really being saved. Amen? Chosen generation. Next phrase, what it says? Go back to your Bible. We're going to the Bible. What's the second phrase? You are what else? Maybe before I even go to that, in the King James Version, in other versions, it doesn't start that way. But in the King James Version, it starts with a but. Starts with a what? But you are. What does but? What is but in your grammatical parts? Or speech, but is supposed to be what? Teachers?
I don't know.
You don't know, all right. That's fair. That's fair. That means it's worth the while for me to share with you, all right? But is a what? I heard somebody over here say it. But is a what? It's a conjunction. Which means it is making a difference. You are a lady. You have two daughters. But I am a man. To understand what Peter is saying, you have to look at what he was saying before. And he was emphasizing that Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone, was rejected by the builders And those who rejected Jesus as the chief cornerstone, Jesus became for them a stumbling block. Hello. But, you and I that have accepted Jesus, now we are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood. I could spend 2 hours on this sermon, but you will not bear with me, and I cannot wear you out, so let me quickly remind you of this. What does the word royal mean? Where's it coming from? Kingly. King. These characteristics of the Christian church, see, in the Old Testament, you don't hear us talking about church. In the New Testament, we talk about what? The church. The word church is a combination of two Greek words, ekklesia. And ek means to pull, to extract, to take out, to call out. The word kaleo is the verb to call. And so ekklesia means the ones that are called out. You and I have become special people to God because we responded to his call. Hello. As long as we continue with God, then we will be special. Amen? Now, let's go to royal priesthood. We have to use the context of the Old Testament. Who was God's chosen people in the Old Testament? Israel. Israel. The Israelites had two special leaders, a king and a what? And a priest. They were the two. One was to lead in the religious world, and one in the, you know, the political, is not too nice. Let's just say the, right, government. Oh, man. Civic. But I want you to remember this. Go back through the Israelites' history, and God never had one person to be the king and the priest at the same time. Never. I am emphasizing that you are a special somebody. Never before in the history of God's people, he ever gave any man to be the king and the priest at the same time. You and I are not ordinary king and priests. You and I are king and priests through Jesus Christ. And Jesus is not a priest after the Aaronic priesthood, but after the priesthood of who? Melchizedek. You see, Melchizedek was the king of Salem and the priest also. Amen. What is the responsibility of the king? To rule in justice and mercy. To make sure everybody is treated right. The lessons this quarter is emphasizing that is a key part of your Christianity and mine. Are we together? We cannot rule in the name of Jesus without ruling in the way Jesus rules. Christian leadership, Jesus told his disciples, is totally different to the one in the world. People out there in the world are leaders, are rulers, and you and I are supposed to be subject to them. We are supposed to serve them. But Jesus said, I want you to know that I did not come for you to serve me. I came to serve you. Christian leadership, your royalty is not to boss people around, is not to use people to your convenience, is to serve like Jesus served. Amen? And of course, the main responsibility of the priest was to what? Was to lead people to know God and to serve God. This is also our main responsibility. Sometimes we forget. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says in verse 20, well, maybe I should go to verse 19, where he speaks about us being reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. And then he says in verse 20, so you and I are what? Ambassadors. We are what? Ambassadors of Jesus Christ. Hello. I don't know if you have any idea of the power and the authority of ambassadors. I do know you are aware of the fact that they are very important people, and as such they are very protected and cared for. Amen? There are places in the world where ambassadors don't move without the bodyguards because it's dangerous. I'm blessed to come from a wonderful country. Within a week, I'll be on Costa Rican soil. In Costa Rica, you know, my wife found in a supermarket one day the first lady shopping. No bodyguards, no nothing. President is out there riding a horse, special, the Christmas season, they have a special treat that they do in the city. I have seen the president just riding his horse there like anybody else. You don't normally see officials with bodyguards and this and the other and the next. Thank God for that. Well, I want you to know that because you are a special somebody and because you have a special mission for God, God knows that you have enemies and you are protected. Me? Yes, you too. This is what the Bible says. Psalm 34, verse 7 says, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivers them. And may I dare to tell you that one angel is a better bodyguard than the whole U.S. Army. So you are very special. Don't make the circumstances around you make you feel like you're a nobody. You are a special somebody because God says so. What else does the text say? Because I need to go. What else does the text say? You are what kind of a nation? What kind of a nation? The first thing I want you to remember about nation is a nation gives you the security of belonging. I remember going to Costa Rica with my U.S. passport, and the person at immigration behind the desk took my passport and said, "Don Leonel, you don't need to come in this line. You are a Costa Rican." From that day, my wife does not have a Costa Rican passport, but we go to the Costa Rican section as long as she's going with me, and she's welcome here. You have the right. You are a citizen, not only of the United States, the most powerful nation on earth. You are a citizen of the kingdom of God. There is no power on earth that is more powerful than God. And when you and I are on God's mission, there is nothing that can stop us from doing what God wants us to do. We are well protected. I don't want to spend much time on talking about the blessings of being a Costa Rican. You see, we talk about, we had, those of you that were here this morning, you know, we have this situation. Costa Rica, in the area where it is the United States. Everybody wants to go and live in Costa Rica. People have asked me here, when you retire, are you going to stay in the States or are you going to Costa Rica? And I usually answer, I will retire tomorrow and I'll be in Costa Rica today. Why? I say, well, if the gringos want to go retire in Costa Rica, why shouldn't I? But I have to tell you, Costa Rica is not a holy nation. I remember seeing on the news an ex-president of Costa Rica, who was then the general secretary of the Pan American Organization, handcuffed at the airport because of some of the things that was done during his government. Not a holy nation. But we are a holy nation. Because we have been separated by God, for God. And in order to emphasize that, the next phrase says, you are a peculiar people. You are a unique people. We are special. We are extraordinarily special. We are, you see, all the world belongs to God. Has always belonged to Him. But Jesus, in His love and mercy, took Israel as His special people. Amen? Today it's not Israel. Today it's you and I. Today we are not Israelis. We are Christians. And the blessing of being a Seventh-day Adventist Christian is that anywhere we go, we are at home. I've been to every major continent in the world. And everywhere I have been with my brethren, I'm at home. Sometimes I feel embarrassed because they treat me so well. We are a chosen generation. Special. Chosen by God through God's love. Secondly, we are a royal priesthood. We need to live the justice and the mercy of God anywhere and everywhere we are. We are a holy nation. Righteousness must flow like a fountain from God through us to all those round about us. Amen? We are a peculiar people. In other words, we are supposed to be different in the positive sense. Wherever you are, wherever I am, we should make a difference for good. Amen? Now comes the big question. Why have God made us special? You don't have to think. The Bible does not leave us to wonder. Peter says what? So that you may what? You may what? Show forth the praises of him who has brought you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So my brothers and sisters, you and I are in the show business. Hello. We are in the show business. I need to tell you today, we are either going to show off who we are, or we're going to show off Jesus Christ. We are here. Thank you, praise team, to glorify God. And everywhere we go, we should be sharing God's love. Let your light so shine wherever you are that men may see your good works and be led to glorify your Father who is in heaven. You and I are special. And that specialness is not intrinsic in us. You are special because you and I have a special message for the world. Absalom decided to overthrow his father David. Remember the story? When it came to the moment of war, David gave his last instructions to his army. He said, I want to go. They said, no, you don't go. You stay here. Even the king have to obey sometime. Amen? David said, okay, make sure Absalom is not hurt. The soldiers heard, the leaders heard. One soldier saw Absalom, as you know, caught by his long hair. He went and told Joab. Joab said, why didn't you kill him? He said, because I heard what the king said. He said, give me a break. He said, if I did that, you yourself would finish me. Joab went and he what? Killed him. Now, in those days, we didn't have television, internet. All we had was a fast runner. And so the news needed to get to the king. So there was a guy that could run very fast, and he said to Joab, hey, allow me to go and run and tell. And no, you should not run today. Stay back here. Joab chose another man, a man that would be able to deliver a bad message to the king in the nicest way. sent him. He started running. But the other guy is like, I really want to run. I want to run. I said, okay, run. He ran so fast that he passed the first one and he got to the king. And the king said, okay, what you got to tell me? Tell me, who is Absalom? I don't know. I really just saw a crowd of people, but I don't know really what's going on. So why are you running if you have no message? Stay aside, because at the same time, I say, somebody else is coming. You and I are not here to run without a message. You and I are important because the message that we have is important. And if we cease to share God's saving grace with others round about us, then we cease to be important. Am I making sense? So today, as we close this message, I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to dare to step out of your comfort zone. To dare to remember that God brought you and I here with the special purpose of leading those round about us to know, to love, and to serve Jesus Christ. To help people to be ready for the kingdom of God. Amen. Jesus is definitely coming soon. Around the world, you know, as Seventh-day Adventists, I remember the years when I was growing up and where we would read where Ellen White says that before we come to the end of time, or as we get down to the end of time, she says that people, more people would be baptized, being baptized in one day than on the day of Pentecost. Because the gospel will not close with less glory than how it began. Do you know that only the Seventh-day Adventist church, among the other Christian church that are out there also working, only the Seventh-day Adventist church baptize average over 3,000 people every day? We are not just a little group hidden somewhere. God is working through us. And thousands of people are coming in. But the gospel must finish in Wayne if it is going to finish in the world. And God has us here primarily to reach this community for Him. Amen? Will you dare to pledge? And Tuesday night, I'll be coming because you have a board meeting. And I'll be revealing more. But the administration of New Jersey Conference has a special burden that we should make what is first first. And they have a program in English, because we are primarily concerned about the growth among the English speaking people with the voice of prophecy. We're working together. I give you more details, but together we want to reach this community in every way possible for our salvation in Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? Would you make that commitment? I'm going to do, by God's grace, all I can to reach somebody by now and December. Amen? For Jesus Christ. Would you raise your hand if you dare to make that promise? By now and December. I'm not saying they're going to become a member in December. I'm saying that you are going to reach out and lead as many as you can to know Jesus, to love Jesus, and the Lord will bring them into His kingdom. Amen? Let us do a closing song. After the closing song, we're going to pray. All right?